Listen to the words of Ittai. He says, as the Lord liveth and as my Lord the King liveth. This is verse 21. Surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will my servant be. The story behind the text is that David is fleeing Jerusalem. Absalom has risen up to try to take the kingdom away. And the Bible tells us in chapter 15, verse 13, that he has stolen the hearts of the men of Israel. The people have followed Absalom. David's counselor, Ahithophel, the Bible tells us in verse 31 that he was among the counselors, one of the conspirators. And what we have is Absalom, over a period of time, has undermined David. And Absalom has literally stolen the hearts of the people of David. And as a result, he is stealing the kingdom, ready to kill his own father. And his father flees. And people are very quickly choosing sides. Now, it doesn't look good for David because David's having to flee. His counselor, Ahithophel, says, I'm going with Absalom. And the divide begins to take place. And so here is this man, Ittai, who comes to David. And David says to this man, he says, there's no need in you to go. You just came yesterday. David says to this man, you go back to Jerusalem. You stay with Absalom. In fact, David calls him the king. And Ittai says, no. He says, as the king lives, or as the Lord lives, and as my Lord the king lives, surely in what place my Lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, whether in good times or bad, whether I die or live, he says, even there also will thy servant be. And what you have here in this text is one simple word, and that is loyalty. Loyalty. That I am going to stand with the king, whether the king lives or dies, or whether I live or die. I am committed to stand with the king. That's what this man says. You and I live in a day that is very uncertain as far as commitment goes and loyalty goes. It's all over the country. And sadly, it's within our churches. People aren't loyal to their marriage. They're not loyal to their families. We have what is called no-fault divorce. And family after family is dividing and breaking up. And it's become so common that it's just accepted. When I was a boy, for a family to break up was tragic. For a family to break up just broke the heart of everybody. And they wondered, what's going on? But now men will leave their wife and wives will leave their husbands. And the fact is, the wife oftentimes will leave the children and the husband leave the children. And there is no commitment or loyalty there. We have in our country debt and bankruptcy. Now, that isn't my message today, but I think it's a sad state when bankruptcy is like it is. And it may have touched some of you, and you have to deal with that and how you deal with it. I've known of people who bankrupt, and they were good people, and they regretted it. And they did what they could to pay back the money to the people that they owed. And that's the right thing to do. Is to go back and try to make right what you've done. But it's a part of our life that people don't even think a second thought about writing off debt. I very seldom am in my car when I hear some kind of commercial on the radio when it's on about credit card debt that you can just get out from under it. Now, I don't know how they do that, but I would trust that when you sign your name to cover a debt, that you'll do that. And just because the law makes it all right It's not all right. There's responsibility. And as Christians, we are responsible, but it points to this idea that there's no loyalty and no commitment to this matter. One's word. Even business people have found it very important to have what they call non-compete clauses for people who work for them. Because in our day, people steal other people's company. People go to work for someone else. Then they'll take the customers from one company to another company as if there's no problem. This idea of loyalty, this idea of commitment, this idea of being true to someone, that's what we're talking about here. Loyalty has to do with a person who will stand by someone else or a cause no matter what happens. That's loyalty. That's going to stand by you no matter what comes or goes. Or going to stand by a cause. Or going to stand by belief no matter what comes or goes. That's what this man represents to us. Loyalty. Idea of commitment. The idea of devotion, the idea of faithfulness, the idea of steadfastness, the idea of allegiance. We pledge allegiance, and we believe in that. It implies faithfulness, steadfastness in the face of temptation to renounce or to desert or to betray a situation or someone or something. In other words, you're in a difficult spot. And you're going to stand where you stand, regardless of the circumstances. You see, loyalty is inseparable from character. In fact, if a man is not loyal, he lacks character. If a woman is not loyal, she lacks character. It goes to who that person is. Do they have the character to stand with someone when there's a difficulty, or are they fair weather friends? There are some illustrations from the Bible. Let me give them to you. The first one, I was thinking about Ruth, the book of Ruth, a little short book in the Old Testament. You know the story that Ruth is a daughter-in-law to Naomi. And Ruth's husband has died. And Naomi is going back from the land of Moab to Israel. And she tells Ruth and the other sister-in-law, Orpah, she says, go back to your people. I can't give you a husband. I have no more children. And they both say, no, we're going to stay with you. No, she says, go back. And Orpah, the Bible says, kissed her mother-in-law, and she goes back. But Ruth, the Bible says, clave unto her. She clave to Naomi. And listen what Ruth said. The Bible says in verse 16 of chapter 1, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried, if the Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And it's an illustration, a superior illustration of what loyalty is about. That I am going to go with you. I'm going to live where you live. I'm going to die where you die. Your people are going to be my people, and your God is going to be my God, and nothing but death is going to separate. That's loyalty. Our country could use a dose of that. America, as we look into this new year, 2016, we could use a dose of loyalty. Let me get it from another perspective. Picture the Apostle Paul. He's an old man, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's in prison, and he's about to die. He knows he's going to die. He's already had one trial. He writes to Timothy. He's cold. He says, bring me my coat. He wants his books, and he writes to Timothy. And he says to Timothy these words, Demas
hath forsaken me. He loved this present world. Demas has forsaken me. Where? In the prison. Where? When he's an old man. When?
When it's test time. When it's proving time. Demas has forsaken me. But then he went on to say this. At my first answer, verse 16, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. I have never been able to even imagine that. In my mind, I've tried to. I can't view it. That the Apostle Paul, the greatest of all of the Christian pastors and preachers and missionaries, writer of 13 books of the New Testament, that he comes down to the end of the way, having given his life to the Lord and to the church and to people, that he would say that when I stood on trial, when I went before Caesar, nobody stood with me. Everybody forsook me. Now, Timothy wasn't there. We know that. And Titus wasn't there. And no doubt others weren't there. But can you imagine that? We know one of them, Demas. When it came down to it, it looked like the great Apostle Paul's life is done. And if you stand with Paul, you might be dying with Paul. Demas says, I think I'm going to go back. But not only Demas, he says, all forsook me. Now that's just the opposite of loyalty, isn't it? When sometimes we see loyalty positive, like Ruth. But sometimes we look at it from the other perspective. And it even defines it in greater terms for us. I love the next verse of that passage, though, in verse 17. It says this, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Now you can be sure of that. That's the one thing you can always be sure of. The Lord will stand with you. Let me give you another illustration from a positive standpoint. It's found in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. And it's a famous story. And you know very much about you know it from memory. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three of the Hebrew boys, so named by the Babylonians. And there came a point in chapter 3 of Daniel where Nebuchadnezzar set up an image. And said, you're going to bow down to that image. You're going to worship this image. When the music plays, you fall down. And the Bible tells us that while everybody else fell down, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood firm. And they told the king, said, there's three Jews, there's three Hebrew boys. They say they're not going to bow down and they're not going to worship. And so they bring those boys before the king. And the king says, is it true? You're not going to worship my image? You know what's going to happen if you don't worship my image, don't you? We're going to cast you into the fiery furnace. You're going to die. And they said this in chapter 3, verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Our God is able to deliver us, and He will deliver us from your hand, O King. But then they said these words, and this is loyalty. But if not, if He chooses not to deliver us from the fire, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And you'd like to hear those powerful words. Their pledge allegiance. We're not going to worship these gods. We're not going to bow down. And you'd like to think they didn't have to go through the fiery furnace, but they took those men and threw them in the fiery furnace. But the fire couldn't touch them. God was in the fire with them. And all three of them lived. But there's allegiance. There is loyalty. On the other side is King Solomon. King Solomon, whom God gave more wisdom than any man that had lived. The only man who's ever lived that was as wise as Solomon was Jesus Christ. But the Bible tells us that when Solomon got old, he had married all of these political, had all these political marriages. And these women turned his heart away from God. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David, his father. The New King James, in translating that, says it this way. His heart was not loyal to God, to the Lord his God. And that's the meaning of it, when it says his heart was not perfect. He was not loyal. He got old. And he lost his loyalty to God. And he replaced it with loyalty to heathen women. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, a friend loveth at all times. It is the distinguishing mark of the saints of the Old Testament and of the New Testament. Loyalty toward Jesus Christ. If you read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the whole chapter is about faith. But it's not just about faith, it's about persevering faith. It's about enduring faith. It's about faith under trial. It's about faith in the fire. It's about how did men do when the world was against them. And in that mighty chapter, you see them standing and battling and being true to the Lord in the midst of adversity. Some to conquer, but others to die. Some to prevail over the enemies of the Lord, but others, the Bible says, were killed and massacred, cut asunder, like Isaiah. It is believed that Isaiah the prophet literally was cut in half by King Manasseh, put in a log and cut in half. And the Bible says of these, the world was not worthy. There is loyalty. The New Testament. Judas denied the Lord, betrayed the Lord. But out of all of the apostles, the other 11, all of them lived and died faithful. They remained faithful until death. 10 of them as martyrs. And one of them, John, who wrote the book of Revelation, the Gospel of John, and the three books of John, lived to be an old man, but was cast upon an island, deserted, but still faithful to the Lord. Loyalty. Yitzhak says, wherever the king is, that's where I'm going to be. Whether it be life or death, I'm going to stay with the king. That's loyalty. Let me tell you this about loyalty. Loyalty is only proven through adversity. Every one of us in this room would stand and say, I'm loyal. I'm going to be loyal. I hope that every one of us would, at least we would say that from a determination. Pastor, I'll be loyal. I'm a loyal follower of Jesus Christ. And I would love to see that. But I know this is true. The only way that I can know that if I'm loyal or you're loyal is adversity. I will find out how good of an American I am. Probably maybe this next year. You and I, we will find. Everybody's saying, we will fight. We will stand. But it takes adversity to prove loyalty. Loyalty is only known through difficulty. Loyalty can only be known through hardship, through adversity. Here is the king running for his life. And a man says, I'm going to stay with you. Whether you live or die, or whether I live or die, where you go, that's where I'm going. It's proven in adversity. Loyalty is like submission. We talk about submission. And the Bible talks about submission. And I would say almost every person in this room would say in some form or another, I'm a submissive person. And every wife would say, I'm submissive. Good. Let me tell you something about submission. And I say it to your youth. I say it to your children. I say it to you that are wives. And I say it to you that are employees. The only way to know a person's submission is when I'm asked to do what I don't want to do. That's how you tell. I have never had to submit to homemade ice cream. Never. I don't have to submit to watermelon. I love it. And I could go right on. I'm a meat eater. I would have to submit to give up pork. I would have to submit to give up meat altogether. I guarantee you that. But if you ask me to go out and have a steak with you, there's no submission there. I'm with you. It's when I'm called to do what I don't want to do. Many women think they're a good Christian submitted wives. The question is, what do you do with what, not what you want to do? And it goes all of us in every one of our lives. All of life calls for submission. Employee-employer relationships. But children. I don't know how good a child you are. I really haven't seen altogether under pressure. Submission is one of those things that takes disagreement to know. Meekness is that way. I've known people that I thought were very meek. Have you ever seen somebody so meek they couldn't hardly lift their head up in church? And you call them to pray and they're so meek. And they said, that's the meekest man. And then have you ever gone on a job with that man and watched him lose his temper? And watch him maybe curse somebody that worked with him and for him? And talk in such a way that you know his wife's never heard him talk that way. I'm telling you, meekness. Meekness is only tested. You can only tell meekness in adversity. Forbearance. Jesus said, somebody slaps you on one cheek, you turn the other. And you say, I'm a good Christian. I'm forbearing. I would like you to know that if you hit me on one cheek, I'm going to turn the other one. But I'm going to be honest with you. Nobody's ever tested that with me. I hope I would do the Christian thing. You hope you would. Submission, forbearance, meekness. These are only proven by situations. And my friend, loyalty is that way. It takes a moment like this in our text. It takes a moment like this to define a man. John chapter 6. Jesus was teaching. And he gave out a teaching, and they said, this is a hard word. Who can accept this? And they began to walk away. And Jesus turned to Peter. He said, Peter, will you also go away? And Peter answered, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. When push came to shove, got down where the rubber meets the road. When truth met life. When truth demanded commitment. When truth demanded devotion. The crowd left and the true Christians were left. That's not a case of apostasy, by the way. John chapter 6. That's a case of definition. It's defining. Those people did not believe, and Jesus knew they didn't believe, and so he tested them. Truth has a way of proving whether you really believe or not. And sooner or later, it gets down to where the rubber meets the road. It gets down to where life and truth come together. Let me just say to you that you will not follow this book. And you will not follow Christ, but what that will be an experience in your life. Not just once, but all through your life. All through your life, you'll come to a point where the Bible says this, God says this, Jesus says this. And you're going to have to, right then, either go in line with it or walk away. Because you cannot walk with Jesus and reject what he says. And that's the test. What does he ask of me? And here's this man saying, no, I'm going with the king. The Marines have this motto, Semper Fi. It means always faithful. It's the intensity, it's trouble that defines whether I am a quitter or you're a quitter. I don't think I'm a quitter. I don't want to be a quitter. I'm saying it's the fight that defines the fighter. It's the battle that defines our character. It's difficulty that defines loyalty. As the great preacher said in the past, is there anything that we're willing to fight for? Is there anything we're willing to stand for? Is there some line that we say, no more? We're not going beyond that. That we are loyal. The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, know this, in the last days perilous times shall come. Very difficult times. Jesus said that people, men will wax worse and worse. The love of iniquity will abound. He said this in Matthew 24, verses 9 through 13. In other words, as you and I come closer to the end, we can expect the love of many to wax very cold. And iniquity is abounding. Perilous times shall come. Jesus said, John 16, verse 33, in this world you shall have tribulation. And you and I have had such wonderful freedoms, but the question is, what will happen to us? You who homeschool your children, you who raise your children in Christian schools, and you do this because of conviction. What happens when they say no? And on it goes. It tests us. I'm just saying loyalty is tested only by adversity. Loyalty is only tested by war. Loyalty is only tested when a line is drawn. And where the church has refused to draw a line for itself and say, we'll go no further, the world is fast moving its line. Have you noticed that? They're not sitting still. The world's not sitting still. The world is infringing on where you ought to stand and where ought to stand. I was reading after a man named G.K. Chesterton. He said this. He said, we're all in the same boat in a stormy sea. And we owe each other a terrible loyalty. Think about that. We're all in the same boat in a stormy sea. And we owe each other a terrible loyalty. Now you can picture a boat like that in a storm. And can you imagine people are not going to be willing to grab the oar and help? And Christian people must be loyal to each other. It is a grief, the lack of loyalty among God's people. First of all, to God we must be loyal. To Jesus Christ we must be loyal. We must be like the general who stood up to the king when the king was blaspheming the name of Christ and said, I've won all of these battles for you, king. But I am soon to leave this life and stand before the Lord, whose name you're blaspheming. And the king and others trembled. And he begged forgiveness of the general. It turned out well that time. But it's our responsibility to stand and to stand together. Loyalty to the truth. Yes, we believe the Bible. We read the Bible. We love the Bible. We believe every bit of the Bible. We believe the Bible is inerrant. We believe every story that's found in the Bible is presented to us as truth. Such as Jonah, 3 days in the belly of the whale, we believe it. Daniel in the lion's den, we believe it. Jesus walking on the water, we believe it. The Red Sea opening and dry ground for him to walk through, we believe it. The walls of Jericho falling down, we believe it. It all starts with the first four words in the beginning, God. And then goes on, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He did that, there's nothing else he can't do. Our loyalty is the Bible. This is our book. This is our book. There is no other book. I'm not saying we don't read other books. I'm not saying we don't learn from other books. I'm not saying that. I think you know I'm not saying that. But there is no book under heaven like this book. This is the Word of God. And we believe it. The Word of God tells us about God. It tells us about ourselves. It tells us about a heaven that's real and a hell to shun. It tells us about a cross that'll save us. It tells us how to live and tells us how to die. It tells us to live in such a way as you be ready to face the judgment that all men must face. We believe the Bible. We must have a loyalty to the Bible. We have a loyalty to Jesus Christ.
In our day, when we're being pressed about Muhammad and other religions, there is only one God. It's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's only one salvation. If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. Loyal. Loyal to His church. I want to be found loyal to His church, and His church functions locally as well as universally. I want to be loyal. I'm in this boat with you, and we're in a storm, and I want you to know I'm going to hold my oar, and I'm going to row, and I'm going to do everything I can. Loyal to the people of God. I want to be loyal to my family. Loyal to my children. Loyal to my king. It's an interesting case here about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was loyal, but his servant deceived him. Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son, grandson to Saul, that David had exalted and brought to his table and taken care of him. But when this happened, his servant deceived him, and Mephibosheth didn't go. But when David returned, Mephibosheth met him. When David returns, in verse 25, I want to direct yourself to a question there. David looked at Mephibosheth, and this is what he asked Mephibosheth. Wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? Now Mephibosheth had the answer for that. His servant had deceived him. He wanted to go with David. He planned to go with David. He was crippled and he couldn't go without help. But what I want you to see is when David came back and he met Mephibosheth, he looked Mephibosheth right in the eye and said, Mephibosheth, why didn't you go with me? And I believe the day is coming for all of us. If we do not stand loyal to our Lord and faithful to our Lord in adversity, in difficulty, in a secularized, atheistic, agnostic world, given over to paganism, if we don't stand faithful, the Lord's going to look us in the eye one day and say, why didn't you go with me? The Lord will be asking us what Moses asked Aaron when Aaron made the golden calf. He came down and found that golden calf, and Moses looked at Aaron and said, Aaron, what did the people do to you that made you do this? Why did you do this? And I'm saying, we need a dose of loyalty. We need a dose of loyalty in the church. I want to tell you, I expect you to be loyal. And I think you have every right to expect I be loyal. But I expect you to be loyal to the cause of Christ. It's like our missionaries. Our missionaries that went out here from China into Africa and Spain, other places. I don't know what you feel, but I feel a responsibility for them. And you've been loyal to them, and I thank you for it. But I'll tell you this. Over the years, I'll be straight up with you. And that's what I think. And you can take it back to whoever you want to talk about it. People that did not stand behind those people and keep helping them, I see them as not loyal to those. We sent them over there. We sent them to the world. How did we drop the ball? There's a loyalty. God help us to be loyal to our commitment to the Lord. There is no greater loyalty in the world than that of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was loyal to His Father who sent Him. He was loyal to the trust that was given Him. Jesus was sent into this world to die on the cross for our sins. And He was loyal to that. He was loyal to you. Listen, everyone in this room would be lost forever if Jesus hadn't went to the cross. He's loyal to you. He's loyal to a world that was lost and needed Him. Loyal. And I want to assure you this much. He'll prove to be loyal to you. Loyalty. What have I committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm committed. My life. You've committed your life. This year is going to test it. And I pray that you and I will be faithful. I pray that we will be found faithful to Jesus Christ in this coming year.